All right. You learn today's daf is daf Mem Gimel. Learn the Nechemishmas, those who were killed overnight, I guess, in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Eisvei, we're in the middle of discussing. We're in the middle of discussing muksa. So basically, we had a call yesterday where Rav Chisda said that if it's the problem would be if moving l'taltel a kli, you l'taltel one kli on behalf of a muksa item. He says you cannot do that. You cannot be metaltel a kli on behalf of a muksa item unless the reason why you're metaltel the kli is because the it's hatsala she mitzuya. If you're doing the hatsala, it's mitzuya. So Eisvei, Abaye asked the Rabbah. We're going to learn in the Mishnah on the Kuf Chaf Aleph. Kofin ka'ara, you're allowed to put a ka'ara, a bowl, al haner, shelo yachez v'kora, so that the flames don't shoot up, top of the gimel, that the flames don't shoot up and burn the beams. Okay, so we're talking about here, number one, Rashi says, a ka'ara of cheres, because if it's not cheres, if it's metal, you have the problem of heating up the metal. And, of course, we're talking about a way that you can put the kli cheres on top of the nair without extinguishing the flame, because then you have a different problem on Shabbos. But you see from here, that's a kashan rabba, because it's not matzui, at least at the Havimir, it's not matzui that the house is going to burn down because of the candle. And according to you, rabba, that you're not allowed to be metatel, the tzorech ahatzala, that's not matzuya, how are you doing that? So he says, no, but they gichine. These are low-lying houses, low-roofed houses, that the nair is very close to the roof. This shchiach buhu, it is bleka, it's matzui, it is more shchiach to have this the house go up in flames because of the candle. So this is a hatzal mitzuya, and therefore it's mutter to be metaltel a kli on legab for on behalf of the muksa item, the candle. So if I ask again, okay, we see there also on daf kuf nun aleph we ask the chen kora shenishbara. You have a beam, a cross beam of a roof that broke on Shabbos, and now we're afraid that the walls are going to come tumbling down. So somchin oso b'safsal u'ba'aruchos hamita. You can stick underneath the beam to support them. You can sit underneath the beam, this bench or these long beds to support the korah, which is a muksa item. So we're moving the non-muksa item on behalf of the muksa item. That's a kashan rabba, because it's not davar mutzur that the house is going to fall down. Why is the mutter to move items on behalf of the korah? So the Gemara says, b'chshurei chadasei. We're talking about new beams. They haven't set, apparently. It's a new construction. The beams haven't set yet. The avidi de pakai. It's possible, it's more likely, that they'll break because of the weight of the house. I guess they didn't have appropriate calculations of what's going to support, what's going to not. So they put a beam in, and then you have to wait for the house to settle. Until the house settles and it's brand new, the possibility or the probability is more likely that the beam could crack, and therefore it's davar shchiach. Mar asks again, okay, what about the next case? And this is a Mishnah and Beitzah, Nachlam and Hema, Beitzah and Beitzah. It says, Nosnin Kli Tachas Hadelef Bashabas. You can put a Kli, some sort of bowl. Sorry, this is going to have to reset. You can put a Kli underneath a bowl on Shabbos to collect the rainwater that's coming down. I guess you don't want the rainwater to hit the house, maybe these mud houses or something like that. So the rainwater to come and hit the house. You don't want it to hit the house. So it's a kashan rabba, because the assumption here is that this rainwater is not potable. It's disgusting, and therefore it's muksa. So why are you allowed to move the bowl on behalf of the muksa item of the rain? So Gemara says, I guess it's not much so that the house is going to get ruined by the rain. The Gemara says, no, but bate chadasi, again, this is a new houses. It's much that there's going to be a drift. I guess the new houses also, they built a house, and then they moved, I guess they lived in it, and before inspection, you know, you check all the holes that are coming in. So this brand new construction, the holes are coming in. So it is shchiach that the rain will drip, and therefore moving the item on behalf of the muksa item in a place that's shchiach is mutter. Okay, that was answer number one. As what was the question was, why was an usher in the Mishnah to put a kli under the nair to be makabel the shemen? Rashi had mentioned both answers. Answer number one was because you're not allowed to move an item on behalf of a muksa item. That's answer number one. That was answer of Chizda. He gave that answer based on the putting the kli under the chicken to makabel the beitza. Now, answer number two we're going to have now is Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef amar hainu taima de Rav Chizda. This is the reason for Rav Chizda, why Rav Chizda said that you're not allowed to put a kli under the chicken to collect it. You're allowed to put a kli on top. Why can't you put a kli under the chicken to collect the egg? So we said just because you're not allowed to move a non-muksa item on behalf of a muksa item. Riosuf gives another answer, is Mishum Dikam Mevatel Kli Mehechano. What you're doing is you're now being Mevatel, you're forcing a Kli to no longer be used for its designated purpose. You're causing that you can no longer use this Kli. Because, two reasons that are given. Because Rashi in the Mishnah, he says, you can no longer use this kli. Let's say you put the egg falls into the kli. You can no longer use this kli. Now you're kovei lo makom over here. I guess it looks sort of like bona that you're like you're makom b'patish. You're completing the malacha over here. It can no longer move. That's number one. Tosos over here points out that in the last parak of the Masechta, Rashi is going to say it's Mexico Sosa. It's more like Sosa because now you're breaking the Keli because you can't use it anymore. Basically, what you're doing is you're destroying the usability, that's a word, of the Keli. Right? So now we're going to ask all the questions from all the missions that we had next. So, Esve Abaye, Abaye Nasser of Yosef. Okay, Chavishal Tevel Shonispra. Question we asked yesterday. You have a barrel of Chevel that breaks. Maybe Kli Acher Minichatachter. You can bring another Kli to catch the Tevel. Right, says a kashal Rav Yosef, because isn't the Tevel Muksa, and once it falls into the Kli, you're going to be Mevatel the Kli, you can no longer use it. So you're Mevatel the Kli Mehechano. So why are you allowed to put the Kli to catch the Tevel? So Amalei, so Rav Yosef says to Abaye, there's no kasha here. Tevel, Muchan Huetzel Shabbos. Tevel's not Muksa. Tevel is Muchan Huetzel Shabbos. She'im Avar V'tikno, because it's not like the Chachamim made it Muksa. The Chachamim said you're not allowed to be Mapish the Tevel. But if you went ahead and did it, it's going to be Masukun. And therefore what? And then you'd be mutal hatal it on Shabbos. You'd be mutal to eat it on Shabbos. And therefore there's no chash from Muksa. So even if you weren't mitaking it, right, and even though it's now Aser B'Tikulo, but nevertheless, since you could fix it on Shabbos, and if you did fix it on Shabbos, it would work, it's not going to be Mavatel. It's not, you don't have a chash of Muksa. Rashi says, Mulchanu. Rashi says, She'ein bo Muksa Eli Isuro. There's only no muksa in there. Only it's iser is what's muksa, I guess. The imba echa the avar al dibrei chachamim. Someone came along and was over on dibrei chachamim. She asu litron b'shabbes v'tikno mesukon. It's going to be mesukon. Umutul l'talatul ochlo. Hilchach lav mevatel kli meichano chashavli. Therefore, it's not considered mevatel kli meichano. Mevatel kli meichano, I guess, has to have a higher status of muksa. This status of muksa is not high enough because theoretically, if you violated chachamim and separated it, it'd be mutter to eat on Shabbos, and therefore it's not considered muksa. What? Right, but I guess it's still muksa, but it's not muksa enough to be mevatel kli mehichana. I forget what that longer says that.
So if you put a plate underneath to catch it, is that plate now muksa? Is that plate only muksa? Or it catches the pebble? It is, right?
According to this, not, because it's not mevatel kli mehichana. It's muksa now, I guess, so long as stuff gets poured out. It's not considered mevatel kli mehichana. To figure out the longest behind that, but you're right. Okay, next case was nosning kli tachas nele kabel nitzosos. You can put the kli under the flame to catch the sparks. Why? That's going to be mevatel kli meichano. What's it? No, I'm Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, nitzosos ein behin mamish. The sparks don't count for anything. They're not. They have no substance. They go out, so it's not considered mevatel kli meichano. Rashi says umutta litlon achar shenafu lutocho. You can even carry it, move it around, even if they fall into the bowl. The sparks are nothing. Next was the case was
v'chein. So what's the purpose of doing that?
Because I guess once they hit the bowl, they lose any potential damage. But if the spark hits something that's flammable,
so
it'll go up in smoke.
So you're doing to protect damage.
Right, but that's not the problem we have here. The problem we have is mevatel kli mehechano. And you're not going to be mevatel kli mehechano here. You're not going to be mevatel the kli. The kli still can be used because what's coming into it is not something that has mamish. It doesn't have chashivas.
So why aren't you allowed to extinguish fire on Shabbos?
Because that's a malacha. That's a malacha of kibbutz. There's no, we're not doing anything over here.
What are you doing? Lifting up a mukta thing.
The sparks are going everywhere, so you're putting a kli and you're catching it. What malacha are you doing?
You know, if you extinguish fire.
So you have to figure out what the malacha is. You have to use it for a pecham. They talk about other things, but if it's kibbutz, kibbutz malacha. Here, there's no kibbutz here. You're putting a kli on it and catching the sparks. Right. Again, the beam is breaking, and you're putting the bench or the bed to capture it, to catch it. Well, now you're going to be mevatel the kli lemeichano, because it's going to, right? So.
Well, how are you doing that? Just take it away.
So the Gemara says the rafi the iboy shakule. We're talking about it. You don't wedge it in all the way. You do it in a way that it could come out, right?
It's not catching anything. You just support it. So if you don't want to support it,
you take it out. Exactly. That's Gemara's answer. So the question I've asked people: why do you have all these cases? The same answer, the same question, the same answer. That's the answer for all the Mishnayos. We have to do it over and over again. Next case was Nosnin Kli Tachas Hadelef B'Shabbos. You can put the Kli to catch the raindrops on Shabbos. I'm Yevat Kli Mechanos. Gemara says no, but Delef Haroi. These things are potable water. It's not disgusting in water. It's water that's Roy Lishtiyah. It's water that's Roy Lishtiyah. But Muksa is there. It's Roy Lishtiyah. It's not Muksa. You're not Yevat Kli Lechano. The funny thing is that Tosas points out is that we could have answered this way in the previous line of questioning also. But there we want to keep all the answers consistent that you're saying that it's Shtiyah. So we meant to answer it that way. But if your assumption was that the rainwater is not potable, the answer is the rainwater is potable. Therefore, it's not muksa, it's not a problem. Okay. The next case was, and this case was not brought. The question was not brought down on the previous mandamer. Kofin es hasal. I want to say something. Right, well, let's finish this. Kofin es hasal lifnei hafrochin sheyalu v'yerdu. So you gotta turn over some sort of basket in front of the little chicks on Shabbos, so that the chicks can walk across the basket and then go into their next. Right? They can't fly, so they're born. They were born right before Shabbos, and they have to walk across. So you could. They don't want to. They won't walk across. So you put these little like platforms, I guess, for them to walk across to get to their lul. So again, so that's a question on Rav Yosef. Why is that mutter? The Ephrochim are muksa, right? So they're going to stand on the basket, and now the basket is going to be usher to be used because it can be mevatel mehechano. You're not allowed to use it because it's going to have muksa on it. So the Gemara says, Kasavar mutter letaltalo. Because Rav Yosef says, no. Rav Yosef argues that you're allowed to carry these baskets. Gemara says, wait a second. Bahatanya, the Raisa says, usher letaltalo. What are you telling me it's mutter? It says it's usher. So he says, no. But Odin alav. What the Braisa means that it's usher is only if when the chicks are on the basket. If they're on the basket, then it's usher to move. But once they go off the basket, if they went to their lul, then it's no longer mutter, it's no longer muksa, and it's mutter to move it. So therefore, you're allowed to put it there because you're not going to be vatel kli mehechano. Rashi says, that doesn't Rashi doesn't want that. So Gemara says,
what's the issue of making a clear commission? What's the problem with
that? That's the Rabbanah. You have a clear mechan. No, Rashi, we saw two sheetos in Rashi. Number one, Tosfos points out, Rashi says it's mechsik asoser. You're destroying the usability of the kli, so that's like you're breaking it to soser. Rashi in the Mishnah mentioned, he says, Asa levata kli mechan, lohoshiv kli b'makom shtuichal olitolo, mishun tahavik kovei lo makom, umechabra betit. But dami malacha, it's like bone. It's either like bone or it's like or it looks like what? Or it looks like makom patish. The kliza mishipul bo Hashem and yemuksa lezototol. Then it becomes no longer able to use it.
Well, why is the difference than the bucket catching dirty rainwater that you also is muksa? The water that's inside is muksa.
Well, that's what we said. So we answered that that's the case here. It was not dirty water. It was clean water, and therefore clean water can be used to be drunk. And therefore, it's not muksa. But in a chanami, if it was dirty, disgusting water. If, according to answer number two, if it was dirty, disgusting water, it would be vat kli mechano be aser. According to answer number one, the reason why it was aser is because you're not allowed to move a non-muksa item on behalf of a muksa item. And we said, unless it was a shchiyach damage. And we say that was a shchiyach damage because it was in a new house. That's what the Gemara answered before. Okay. So the Gemara, going back now with the chicks on the basket. So the Gemara says, but we just said it's only usher if the chicks are on the basket. Vatanya, but we don't have a price that says, Afal pisha ain odin alav usher. It says clearly, even if the chicks are no longer on the basket, it's still usher. So Amar Rabbi Vayu, Ravo says a very fundamental answer. But odin alav kolben hashmashos. When does it become usher? It's because the chicks were on the baskets the entire ben hashmashos. The halacha is, and right, migul this katsai leben hashmashos, it katsai lechulei yoma. If something is muksa, or something is not set aside in Ben Hashmashos, then it lasts the entire day as being muksa, even if the reason for the muksa leaves. So what happened here? The chicks are on the basket Ben Hashmashos, the entire Ben Hashmashos.
Which Ben Hashmashos are we talking about?
The one, whichever Ben Hashmashos
not
you hold
Kerechaim,
like.
Not the other one.
What?
Not the one Kerechaim.
Whatever the definition of Ben Hashmashos is, so when you're on that Ben Hashmashos, so migo this got soil with Ben Hashmashos is called the kula yoma, right? Rashi says, "Aval not done, right? Not nusham mishe chashecha." if you put them on once it gets dark, then mutter litlo im ein efrochim alav. Then, as soon as the efrochim leave, it would be mutter. But here, since it's muksa ben ashmashos, it'd be muksa kol yom. That's what the price is talking about. Rav Yosef is talking about where you put the basket down after, you know, on Shabbos itself, not ben ashmashos. See, if you have ben ashmashos, it's more machmir when it comes to muksa. Just wanted to point out, Tosas has a good question, right? We said ba'odin alav, right? The answer that he gave was ba'odin alav. If they're still on it, then it is aser. But once they come off, it's mutter. The Tosas points out, aval acher sheyardu, the first ba'odon, aval acher sheyardu, once they come off, mutter l'talklo, then you're allowed to carry it. That was the inference we made. V'nira l'ri, the ri says, the kasavar, the ein muksu l'chatshi Shabbos. There's no concept of muksu l'chatshi Shabbos. Meaning, this man the Amra holds, that if something becomes muksa on Shabbos, it can still become non-muksa on Shabbos, which is a machlokas in the Mishnayos, in the Gemaras, in Beitza, right? The Man Damar Perek Ein Sodin, the Yesh Muksa, there is a Man Damar who says, you're right. If something is Muksa Ben Hashmashos, then it's Muksa the whole day. If something becomes Muksa on Shabbos, then it can continue becoming Muksa the rest of Shabbos, which is called Muksa L'chachi Shabbos. The Yesh Muksa, right? He says, the Man Damar Perek Ein Sodin, the Yesh Muksa, Asher L'talklo, Af Acher Sheyardu, even after it goes down. The kasha l'rashbush, the rosh mishnah says the kasha l'man damar yesh muksa l'chachi Shabbos. Am I coping this atzal if ney afrochim? Hay mivatuk mimeichano. So according to that man, the Amar, how can you put the sal down for the afrochim even on Shabbos? You're going to be mivatuk. You get still the same problem, mivatuk mimeichano, because they say that you can cut muksa in the middle of the day and continue the rest of the day. So how can you do that? Mekayim alon the asul levatlo. We know you're not allowed. We know that's halacha l'maisi. Not allowed mivatuk mimeichano. So he gives two answers. He says, because he says Yesh Lomah Daman Da Amar Yesh Muksa L'Chatshi Shabbos Hach Te Kofin Es Hasal Mokik Rav Shimon Dil Didei Vaday Shar L'Tat L'Hasal K'Shar Yardul Afim L'Ktoin L'Men Rav Shmosos Yisrael Kuli Yomah Les Lay Da Hamatir L'Lis. He goes like Rav Shimon. That's one answer. Inami, the second answer, he says the last couple lines, Hadi Yesh Muksa L'Chatshi Shabbos Hayin L'Chilu L'Tiltol. Muksa L'Chatshi Shabbos only Gabi Achila, not Gabi Tiltol. But you have to, it's a big question. On the Man Da Amar says Yesh Muksa L'Chatshi Shabbos, how does this work out? Okay, maybe he says he doesn't. Maybe Rav Yosef holds that, you know, we don't have that concept. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to bring a daya that's cholik on Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said before that you're allowed to turn a kli and put it on top of the egg, right? And we had to explain the difference why you can put it on top and you can put it underneath. We had two reasons why you can put it underneath. The answer we just said now is mevat kli mechano, and the previous answer was because you're not allowed to move a non-muksa item on behalf of a muksa item. So comes Rav Yitzhak. Just like you may not put a kli underneath the egg to catch the egg, so too you cannot put the kli on top of it. Right? You can't do either. Argus on Chizda. Why? Kesavar ein kli nital ella ledavar nital b'shavus. You may not use one kli on behalf of something unless that something can be used on Shabbos. You can't move a muksa item on behalf of a muksa item, which is called, again, ein kli nital ella dabar nital b'shabbos. So according to this, I cannot take my bowl to cover the egg. Why? The egg is muksa. So I can't take a non-muksa item and use it on behalf of a muksa item. Right? And he doesn't make the difference between hatzala mitsuya or not a hatzala mitsuya. You can't do it. Bottom line, you can't do it. Why? So, right, it's a basis, it's Gemara on this, I guess, Kaf Gimel on the base, that, I guess, the only tiltul that the Chum made a takana, and you're not allowed to do tiltul on Shabbos. The only tiltul you're allowed to do is Letzorach Shabbos. This is not Letzorach Shabbos, because what are you doing? You're protecting something you can't use on Shabbos anyway. So it's not Letzorach Shabbos. So if that's the case, that you're not allowed to move one kli on behalf of another kli, so may say kol tiyufta. So all these questions that we had before, we're going to ask again. All these cases we see that Litzorech HaTzala Mitzuya, which was the first way we learned the Heter, you were allowed to move. So according to you, Rav Yitzchak, you have a problem, all these Mishnayos. So Rav Yitzchak says, B'shani, he answers, in one fell swoop, B'tzorech L'mkomo. The case that all these cases on the Mishnah were that you were moving the item, you were moving one item, Litzorech, Rashi says, Litzorech L'mkomo, L'shtamish B'mokom HaKli. When we talk Sheyotchol Litol, Litzorech L'mkomo, Molicho L'mokom Sheyirtze. Whatever reason you had, you needed the makom where the kli was placed. So now once I'm allowed to pick up the kli, because it's surachim komo, I can put it down wherever I want. So I might as well put it down in a place where I'm going to save everything else. But I'm not moving it because of the muksa. I'm moving it because I have a heter of surachim komo.
But that wasn't the case.
That's what claim of the case is.
You didn't move the buckets to the cheeks because you needed the place where the bucket was.
No, he's saying you did. You needed
the
place. That's how he's interpreting the brisos. That's how he's answering his questions. He's saying the only heter that you had to move the buckets would be in a situation where you have to move the buckets letzorach mekomo. And if someone's allowed to move it letzorach mekomo, let me take advantage of that heter and put it down in a way that the eggs or the chicks can walk across. However, if you don't need letzorach mekomo, then you may not, because you're not allowed to take one kli and use it on behalf of a muksa item. So Tashma, and the Gemara is going to bring a couple of brisos that seem to see not like Rav Yitzchak. Tashma. Achas beitzah shenolda b'Shabbos. Whether you have an egg that's born on Shabbos, v'achas beitzah shenolda b'yontov, you have both moksa in these situations, ein mitalflim lo likasas bo'as a kli, you may not carry it, you may not take it to cover a kli, you can't take the egg, pick up the egg itself to use it to as a stopper in a kli, to cover up a kli, v'lismok bo'a kreya mita, somehow they were able to put the eggs down and support the legs of a bed. But you're allowed to put a kli on top of it so it doesn't break. So that's a clear kasha Rav Yitzchak, who says you're not allowed to be mitatal kli letzorach muksa. So how in this case were you allowed to mitatal the kli and cover the egg, which is muksa? So Gemara says hachinami shetzorach mekomo. It's a case of tzorach mekomo. I mean, they didn't know the answer. That's the answer they give. I don't know why they had the answer. Tashma, another question. Porsin machzalos al gabe avanim b'Shabbos. You are allowed to put over, lay curtains over these stones on Shabbos, right, to protect them from the rain, which is a question of Rav Yitzchak, because how can you take these curtains and put them on Shabbos over the eggs? I guess these are some sort of rocks that are stones that are used for building, right? They're muksa. So you're taking a non-muksa item to use on behalf of a muksa item. It's a question of Rav Yitzchak. So he says, ba'avanim mikurzalos. I guess these are kind of sharp stones. The chazina levesakise. They can be used as toilet paper, so they're not muksa. Toshma. Another question on Rav Yitzchak from Abraisa. Porsin machatzalos al gabe levenin b'Shabbos. You're allowed to put these curtains on top of bricks on Shabbos. The bricks are not used for toilet paper, so they're muksa. So why are you doing something on behalf of a muksa item? So he says the ishtuyar mibinyana. These are left over after the building. These are the leftover bricks. The chazina lemigzay alayu, and people use them to sit on them. I guess they become some sort of like stoops that people use to sit and lean on. So they're not muksa because they have a purpose on Shabbos. Tashma, another question, Rabbi Yitzchak. Porchsin machatzelas agabe kaveris devorim b'Shabbos. You're allowed to put these curtains on top of the honeycombs, right? Like on the beehives, the honeycombs on Shabbos. B'chama, when it's sunny, mipnei achama in the summer season to protect it from the sun, ubikshamim, and in the winter season mipnei hagashamim to protect it from the rain, ubilvad, but on condition shelo yikavein letzud, that you don't have kavana for tzeda, because you're putting, you know, you're sort of trapping the bees in here. So therefore, how are you doing that? You're taking this machzalos, you're covering a muksa item, you're covering the honeycomb. You can't use the honeycomb on Shabbos. So Gemara says ikudvash. No. There's honey in the hive over here. Therefore, it's not muksa, because you can go in, I guess, with some sort of protective gear, you can go in and get out the honey for food for Shabbos. So the item itself is not muksa. So I'm allowed to cover a non-muksa item with not something that's not muksa. What's the problem? So Amalei Rav. So now the Gemara is going to ask to talk about this honeycomb a bit. So Amalei Rav Ukva Mimeshan. Rav Ukva from the place of Meshan, Rav Ashi, asked to Rav Ashi, Teinach b'yimosachama. I understand during the summer months, the ikudvash, because naturally during the summer months, that's when the honey is in the comb. That's when the honey's there. But b'yimos hagashamim, the lekadvash, ma'ik lemeimer. What about in the rainy season? There's no honey left in there. There's no honey there anymore. I guess they gather the honey during the summer months, and once comes the winter months, they don't have the honey in there, and therefore, you're protecting. I don't know. You can't protect the bees. No, I don't think the bees would be muksa. It's the honey. The answer was, the question was, you're protecting how can you do that? They're muksa. Right, the answer was, no, it's not muksa because of the honey. But there's no honey, they're muksa.
It's only around field, you eat it now.
Right, so the honey's inside.
You're not taking out the honey while you're doing that.
In other words, you're protecting the honey, therefore you're protecting a non-muksa item, well, that's okay. Yeah. But if there's no honey in it.
It's muksa because you're not using it.
What?
You could use it,
so it's not mekatzer das from it. But if there's no honey in there, then you are mekatzer das from it, because the only thing that's in there are the bees. And the bees are muksa, it's a baal chayim.
But you don't know if there's honey there or not.
In the winter season, you know there's no honey.
Yeah,
Because it's your honey. Because you know that there is. In the summer there is honey, in the winter there's not. So the Gemara says, Michael Amemar. So how does Rav Yitzchak explain this brisa? This brisa is Mati Yudim Etatel Machatzelos even during the rainy season when there's no dvash. Even though there's tiltil, it's because of the bees. And the bees would be something that's muksa. Why? Because they're Baal Chayim. A Baal Chayim is Asr Muksa, just like Eitzim and Avanim. Right? So the Gemara answers, Lo Nitzucha Ella Leoson Shtei Chalos. I don't know. I'm a beekeeper, so I don't know exactly how this works. But he says this brisa permits you to cover the honeycomb even during the rainy season when you're covering it on, for the purpose of shtei chalos. There are these two. I don't know. Chalos. What does he define chalos? There are two honeycombs left in there. They're left in there in order to feed the bees, so the bees can live off of them. The inside. So there is honey inside. So the Gemara says. But that's muksa. Why is that muksa? Because that's not for your purposes. That's for the hunt. That's for the bees. Rashi says, look at Rashi's first short line. Muksas nino, the dvorim. It's set aside for the dvorim. So hadar havile davar she'eno nita. But if you hachem itahal to live in machatzel aslat salon.
But it's so a human can eat it. So why would it
be? Because it doesn't matter. Because it's set aside for the bees. So it's out of your das.
You're not going to use it.
You set it aside. So the Gemara answers, the Chashiv Alayu, that you had the Kavana before Shabbos, you set aside your stone to throw. It's a Shabbos Dainer. You had set it aside. If you set something aside, it's something that's typically Muksa. If you set it aside before Shabbos, it's no longer Muksa. Muksa means Mekatadas. It's set aside from my mind. Oh, but so if
you,
I put it in mind.
The stones that you're throwing on cars, you allow it to
set it aside, Shabbos Dainer.
Before Shabbos?
Yeah, you ever saw there was they had a store, I think it was a joke, in Meir Shar, and there was a big rock in the window. And on the bottom it said Shabbos Steiner, and they were selling it for 10 shekel. I think it was a joke. But still, that's you're still not allowed to do, you're still not allowed to do Hezek and all these other issues on Shabbos, you know, Tiltul and all these other things. But still, whatever. Right, so Muksa, because Muksa Machmas Gufo. Right, and that's right. That it's, and rocks are probably the same thing. It says Muksa Machmas Gufo. It's inherently Muksa. There's nothing you can do about it. Right, these things are Muksa Machmas Gufo. Pets, rocks, sticks.
Money.
Right. Machmas Kesaron Kist is maybe an issue about, but
cell phones.
You can use it as a doorstop, right? It depends if the cell phone was ruining the flood, then maybe it's not muksa anymore. But if it's not, then it's muksa. Okay. So the Gemara says, Hi muksos nino the chashiv. So the Gemara answers to chashiv alayu. Rashi says, Me esmol achila. I had machshava to eat it to set it aside. So the Gemara says, wait a second. So halo chashiv alayu, had you not thought about it, had you not set it aside, what would be the din? It'd be usher. So ihachi, if that's the case, that if you can't cover this honeycomb when you didn't have havana for the honey, had the honey you bevatcha lo yiskavin latsud. Why is the brisa say you're allowed to cover it, provided that you don't have havana to trap them? Lif lo nibidei. The brisa should have spoken and make a kavana. Don't talk about seva. Talk about the honey itself. Talk about the issue itself. The issue would say b'medvar murin kichashik shivaleim avalochi shivaleim aser. That should say b'yomos hagashamim is mutter, provided that you had kavana. Don't talk about an outside problem. Talk about a local problem. So the Gemara answers, how come Ashmalan comes to teach us sha'af al pisha chishivaleim? Even if you do have kavana to eat the honey that's inside b'yomos hagashamim, and therefore it's not muksa, still ubilvad shloish kavana tzur. There's still another caveat. You have to have kavana, and you have to have kavana to use the honey, and you can't have kavana to trap the bees. Right? Rashi says you can't have kavana to trap the bees. So Gemara says now, okay, money. Who is this like? Right? The Gemara is going to ask on this whole sugya that we said that this brisa says that you're allowed to, it's mutter to cover the honeycomb only in a manner where you had kavana for the honey on Erev Shabbos, so it's not muksa. And you don't have kavana to pratseda. So who is this like? So money. Who is the Tanda from who on one hand says that has a very strict position of muksa? That would be Rabbi Huda, right? Strict position of muksa. And therefore you cannot cover the koreos in the choref unless you had in mind to eat the honey that's inside there. And on the other side, he says that as long as you don't have kavana pratseda, meaning the nuach l'shadav she'enu maskavein is mutter. So one's Rabbi Yehuda, one's Rav Shimon. So you see the tension right away. What's going on? So money. Rav Shimon. If it's Rav Shimon, less like muksa. Well, he holds of a less stringent opinion of muksa. And part of his problem with muksa is that you don't have to have this machshava for the honeycombs. You don't have specific intent. He basically would hold that since it's, like you were saying, since it's roi for a person, it's already not muksa. So but less like muksa. Rav Yehuda. And if it's like Rav Yehuda, kilo miskavin my hobby. Who cares that he didn't have kavana for tzeda? What's the big deal? right? Ha, davar shemus kavan usher. Still usher if he did it. He looks at the bottom line. So Gemara says, lo olam Rabbi Yehuda. It's really we're going according to Rashi to Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore we have a problem. So what's the issue? So what do you mean kavana? Even if you didn't have, if you didn't have kavana for tzeda, if you did say it, you still violate the isser. He says, umay uvachol is kavan latzod. We're going to reinterpret what that means. Shelo yasena kimitzuda. Don't do it in a way that creates tzeda, which means the lishbok lu rivcha ki hechdu litzadu mimela. Leave over a opening that the bees can get out, so it's not completely trapped. It's not considered tzeda. Rashi says shelo yichasena kula. Don't completely cover it. Ella din nishbok rivcha. Leave over some space. Sheyuchu litzeda. The bees can get out. Ki hechdu de lo litzdu b'hai kisoi mimela. Since it's not, so it won't become an automatic tzeda. The afagav de lo miskavin lemeitzad usher. Even if davreshim miskavin is usher, well here you're not going to davreshim miskavin is usher only if you're actually doing the malacha. Here you're not doing the malacha because you're leaving over space for the bees to come out. Okay, so now the question we had now was you Rav Ukum Meimushan asked how can you cover the bees during the winter months. The winter months, there's no honey. We have went up to this whole answer. So now Rav Ashi gives another answer. Mika tarni be mos hachamim, mos hakeshamim. I interpret it this way. Who says we're talking about the calendar months of the winter months and the summer months? Right? What does it mean? It means v'chama b'nei hachama, or v'kshamim b'nei hakeshamim. It just means you'll have protected from the sun, you'll have protected from the rain. And when is that? B'yomi Nisan, b'yomi Tishrei. That's like in Nisan and Tishrei, when you can have either or. You can have rain or sun. Ika chama, v'ika keshamim, and ika dvash. And that, in those months, possibility to have rain, there's possibility to have sun, and the dvash is still in the honeycomb. So don't come to this whole thing. There definitely is honey, because it's talking about Nisan Tishrei, and we're talking about you can protect it from either climate problem. Okay. Now, Amar Lahu Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says to the Bnei Yeshiva, Puku, go, Eretz Yisrael, v'imru leila Rav Yitzhak, and go tell Rav Yitzhak, kfar targama Rav Huna l'shmateich. Rav Huna already here in Bavel said your shita. What was Rav Yitzchak's shita again? Go back. Rav Yitzchak says, "Kishem she'ein noten kli tachas tanagolos kabel beitzah, so kach ein kofin alev kli b'shigos shul tshaver." You may not move a non-muksa item on behalf of a muksa item. So that was his big chiddush. So Rav Sheshes says, "We already know that chiddush. We already know that. Why?" The Amar Rav Huna, because Rav Huna says, "Osin mechitza lemeis." You are allowed to put a mechitza, a protective covering of something for a dead body. In other words, so it doesn't rot in the sun. But only bishvil chai, only for a live person. You're making mechitza for the mace for a live person. Don't figure that out. They ain't osi mechitza lemeis bishvil lemeis. You can't do mechitza for the mace only before the mace. Why? Because you're not allowed to move a non-muksa item on behalf of the muksa item. The mace is a muksa item. So we already have that fetish. So what's the case? So mahi, what's the case? The Amr of Shmuel Bar Yehuda, the Shmuel Bar Yehuda says, v'chein tana shilu amari, mace muta b'chama. You have a mace who's lying in the sun. So what are you supposed to do? You don't want it to rot. You don't want it to decompose in the sun. So, ba'im shnei bnei adam v'yoshem b'tzido. So two people come and sit next to the mace. They sit on the ground next to the mace. Cham lehem milmata. Now it gets pretty hot for them underneath, right? So zem maybe mita v'yoshev leva, zem maybe mita v'yoshev leva. So each one brings some sort of chair or some sort of bed to sit on, and they put it there and they sit there. Must be within the tchum. There's no problem of bringing it outside. Okay. Cham lehem. Now it becomes hot for them above. So cham lehem milmala maybe l'machatzela. So porcelain lamps. They bring this curtain and they cover themselves. They cover themselves. They hold up. They cover themselves. Right? Then what happens? Zezokev mitah. So this one stands up his bed. Nishmat v'holeichlo. And if he wants, he can just get up and leave. Vezegozokev mitah. So v'nishmat v'holeichlo. And this one can get stand up his bed and leave. Right? V'nimtzes mechitza suim eilo. Now you have a curtain covering the mace. Ah, isn't this building an ohel? Building an ohel. So Rashi says because you're doing it backwards. That's why specifically. Well, that's well. Okay, maybe. But Rashi says the reason is because you build an OL as you build it the normal way. You build an OL, you build an OL bottom up. That's how you build. You build bottom up. So here what you do, first you add the curtain, and then you flip the beds over to support the curtain. So now you're building the OL from top down. So this goes into play for the umbrella issue, whether or not, you know, some people say, oh, I see from here that there may be an umbrella issue, because of an umbrella, if you don't hold that a person could be the support for an OL, then the umbrella is not really an OL, because it's from top down, whatever. Klal Yisrael was machmir not to use the umbrella. It's the parasol, it's tshuva. The machlokes know the Yehuda and the Chasam Sofer. Okay, so Itmar, we learned in the base of Medrash. Mace hamuta b'chama. You have a mace that's sitting in the sun. You want to move it, right? So Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel hocho mimita lemita. right? You have to do some tilting achar yad, sort of flip it from one bed to another bed. The question is whether you can actually carry the bed, you can actually touch it, or you just tilt the bed from one gurney to another gurney. Rav Chanina bar Shlomo mishmei the Rav Amar meniach lav kikar otina kumotatlo. You put an item of bread or a baby on it, and then you can carry the mace agav the other item that's put on top of it. So Gemara says, so hecha the ika kikar otinok. Where if there's a kikar otinok, right? Because put the right. Rashi says, right, because kikar otinok. Now you're moving it on behalf of them, so you let them move the mace, but because it looks like you're moving the kikar otinok. I'm not exactly sure how that works, if it's a buses.
Yeah, how can you roll the mace?
To tilt the achar yad. You do it the other way. You take the sheet and you flip it onto one bed, and you take the sheet and flip it onto another bed. I'm just not exactly sure how this works. We did buses. Right. So Gemara says, so heicha the ika kikar otina kulam lo pligi b'shari. If you have the kikar the tinok, everyone agrees that's okay. Ki pligi de lesle. The machloka says there is no kikar otinok. Mar sabar titul menotzach me titul. One man number says titul achar yad is still considered a regular titul, and therefore it's still muksa. Mar sabar losh me titul. Therefore you can sort of like roll the mace from one. You can't just pick it up regularly. Do it in a achar yad fashion, and that would be okay. So then the Kentanai, the Machlesi, the Machlokas Rabbi Shmuel, where the Tiltum of the Tzad is considered Tiltul, is a Machlokas Tanoim, because we say, you may not save the dead body from a fire, right? Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, Shemati Shem Atzilinas HaMesu Pnei Adeleka. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish says, no, I heard that you can. What's the case? So Hechi Dami, what's the case? Eid Ika Kikor Tinok, my time. If there's a Kikor Tinok, put the Kikor Tinok on the bed, and what's the problem? My time, the Kanakamu says that you're not allowed to save it. Eid Aleka, if there isn't, my time, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish says it's mutter. Elalad machlokas would be betitul minatzad huligi ma adamar the kind of kamas sover titul minatzad shmei titul, and therefore you may not save the mace from the dleika mititul minatzad because it's titul muksa umar sover that titul minatzad is low shmei titul, and therefore I can do the titul in a non normal fashion and be mutter. So he says low, no kuliyama titul minatzad shmei titul. Everyone holds titul minatzad is considered titul. Behind the time of Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, this is the reason why Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish who's permitting you to save the mace. Tiltum and Tzad from the Dleika. The Mitoksha Adam Bahul on Mace. So a person is very, concerned about the mace. They don't want the mace to decompose or anything bad happen to the mace's body. Elo Shari Slave, we don't permit Tiltum and Tzad in this case. They're all dealing with the Rabbanans. So in this case, the Rabbanans say it's mutter because Asi the Chabuye, because you may come out and extinguish the flame. And that would be a problem. You're saving the mace from a Dleika. That's the case of the Mishnah. Right? The case of the Brisa was. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to save the mace with nehadleika, so you may put it out because you want to save the body. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Shila, Amar Vasi, Amar Yochanan Halacha, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish ben Mace, that you're permitted to save a mace with nehadleika because we're worried that you may put out the flame. Let's just finish up over here. The Mishnah then said, "Ein neosin heimenu." This was the shemen that came out from the candle. You can't get hana on Shabbos from the shemen that came out from the candle. Lefisha eino mina muchan. It's not muchan. It wasn't there in Shabbos. The Tanur Rabbanon, learning a brisa, Mosar Hashemen Shem Benevish Vekara, the leftover shemen from the Nair that's left over in the bowl after the flame goes out, it's Aser. You're not allowed to use it on Shabbos because Benesh Mashos, it was Aser. Right? Because that Benesh Mashos, that oil was Aser because the flame was there. You couldn't use it. Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter. Why? Because Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't hold a muksa, doesn't hold of migo this katzoy lebenes mashos, it's katzoy lekulu Shabbos. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a good Chodesh.
Permission. You know that there's a